Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
The God of the universe wants to talk to you. The creator of the world actually wants to speak with you and with me. Now, if you're trying to speak to me, I have to hear it. I think there's another. There we go. If you're trying to speak to me, I have to be able to hear you, right? If you're not loud enough, for instance, I'm not going to know what you're saying. If you're mumbling, and some of us as we get older, we think everybody's mumbling, right? If you can't hear, you don't know what the other person's saying. So you can communicate in a few different ways. So it could be that you just talk to someone. It could be you're across the room or down across the field and you're yelling at someone, but you're still getting the message across. You're communicating with someone. It could be that you're communicating maybe through a phone, and there's all kinds of ways you can use a text and email and all kinds of messaging apps and so on. You can communicate with someone, send them a message, hopefully they understand what you're saying, and you passed on what you want them to hear. We could go old style, old school, write in a card and send it to someone, write a letter and send it to someone. And so they open this up and they get your message, your words for them. Some of us do sign language. Not me. I was thinking of actually trying to do one word, and I thought, I'm not even going to try. But we sometimes can communicate through sign language if you know how to do that. We have different ways of communicating. One of the primary ways of communicating that God has for us is through written words, is through scripture. So if you say something, I have to be able to hear it. If you sign something, I have to understand sign language. If you write something, I have to be able to read it. I have to understand the communication method. Well, God is a communication method that is his primary way of communicating with us, and that's through the scriptures or the Bible. And I'm just going to say, oh, I need my, and so thank you, my assistant. Some years ago, Lynette got me this Bible for my birthday. I was just thinking of Bible in our language. I want to read a verse for you, and I may not get it all right. But here's what it says. Dann Gott seine Leifte dieser Welt wie so groß, dort hei seinen einzigen Sehen jäif, dort all die an am Gleiven nicht verloren gönnen, aber dort ewige Leben haben. I have no idea if I even read it right, but low German. So some of you only know English. And I think that's enough. But there's something about having the Word of God in our language. For me, when I first read that, I'm going to get emotional. There are people in this world, there are some who still do not have the scriptures in their language. I did some looking online, and you know how many different English versions there are? I found an article, it was actually on the American Bible Society website, but they were trying to figure out how many different versions or translations there were, and I'll just read what it says. I'm afraid no one can give you an exact number for the English translations and paraphrases of the Bible printed since Tyndale's New Testament of 1526. It's a little while ago. In part, this is due to the difficulty of determining what should be defined as a new translation as opposed to a correction or a revision of an existing translation. There's an additional question of how we should count translations that include not a complete Bible or Testament, but just a group of books or even a single book. And then, of course, there's just the difficulty of sheer numbers. With all these caveats in mind, the number of printed English translations and paraphrases of the Bible, whether complete or not, is about 900. About 900 English versions of the Bible. We have a few options. None of us should say, oh, I don't know if I can find a Bible to read. there should be some options. We should have them close to hand. You should have a Bible in your hand, right? So Bible, this is God's word to us. We're continuing a series of hearing God's sermons, and this morning it's on primarily we hear God when he speaks through Scripture. Primarily. One of the primary ways that God speaks to his people is through the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. Here's what it says, talking about Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. So if you flip a little further along to another small book, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Now, it mentions prophets, but the same as the authors of each of the Scriptures, each of the Bible books. Different authors wrote those. Different ones wrote down different things in their books. But we believe that it was inspired by God. That whatever they wrote, when we're reading this, even in our different translations, we are reading the Word of God. We are reading the words of God. We are not just reading something that somebody made up, not something that was just a good idea, or somebody that just did some research and said, let me tell you what I found, but this is what God wanted included in his Scripture. The prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So the Bible is God's words of communication to us. He wants us to know the things that are in the Scriptures. He wants us to understand what he's saying. When we're reading Scripture, we are reading the words of God. I think we forget that sometimes. This is God speaking to us. When you're reading the verses we even just read, they're verses where God is wanting us to understand something. God is speaking to us. God is telling us something that's important to him, and he wants us to know it. So do you want to hear God speak? You need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. Allow it to speak to you. Allow it to permeate you, to become part of you, that you feed on it, as it were, so that your whole life is about the words that God has spoken to us. Much of this next part, I'm going to talk about a few specific things about Scripture, but this comes from hearing God by church renewal. Some of you may have some experience with that. Some of you may have seen some of that, but I thought this was good, and I'll include a few things here. So God speaks to us in two different ways. Universally to everybody. Personally to individual people with specific messages for specific situations at specific times. Right, so there's times you read in Scripture and you recognize this is definitely speaking to everybody. And there's times you read some of it and you realize maybe that's speaking to a specific situation, a person, and so on. And sometimes we read it and realize God's speaking to our situation and to our purposes and our time. So, there are two Greek words translated as word in the Bible. Logos, now many of you probably have heard that. Many of you probably are familiar with how that ties into Jesus is the word or the Logos in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, where it says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God. The word was God. And then so the word became human and made his home among us. The word is not just a title given, but it describes Jesus as someone who is that communication of God or that expression of God's heart in human form to the world. God was communicating in Jesus all of who God is. What God has said or has to say to us is logos. It means the word of God to everybody. the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, and all of that speaking to all people as a whole. Well, there's another Greek word we translate in English as word, but it's the word rhema, the word of God to you personally. It's a specific message given for a specific person at a specific time. So logos is in kind of a general term how God's word goes out to all. Rhema is God's word to someone specific, situation specific, time specific. Now, honestly, when I first heard this, I thought, yeah, right, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And there's some debate whether there really is much difference between logos and rhema, but I think there is something really, really clear as we look at a few examples, that God sometimes uses his scriptures to speak to you or me personally through what is written. Even sometimes taking something that we might, in a sense, almost say out of context, but taking it and saying, this is for you for now, my word to you. I'll explain that a bit more. The Holy Spirit's job, then, is to make the scriptures apply to our lives personally in a dynamic or lively way. So when we are reading scripture, it is not just a textbook that we're reading so we know information to pass a test. But it's real life, real situations from a real God to us in our real world. So then the Spirit takes the Logos and turns it into Rhema, or its illumination, where sometimes there's certain things that you just, as you're reading, you realize this is for me. The Holy Spirit has made it very clear that something there is for me. Here's an example. Matthew 4, verse 3 to 4. Jesus was tempted by the devil. Some of you know that story, but you might want to go back and look at it. He's been not eating anything for 40 days and being tempted by the devil. And so it says, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Because after all, you're hungry. Why don't you just make yourself some food? But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. True, right? Let's figure out, though, where he's quoting from. He's quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And in that place, it says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So, in Deuteronomy, the original scripture was to the people of Israel as an ongoing reminder to depend on the word of God. Jesus, when speaking to the devil, makes it a specific reference at that moment, that situation, that time, to address the devil as he's responding to a temptation of the devil. So he took logos and made it rhema, meaning he took something that was meant for a larger group and said, but I think that phrasing, that wording applies directly here to say, this is my response to you, devil. People not live by bread alone. I'm not making stones turn into bread. So then logos is the words of God for everyone, where rhema is a word for an individual or a group at a specific time in a specific situation. Rhema is when God speaks to you personally. So again, there might be some people that say, I don't know if there's really that much difference between logos and rhema. But what I do know is I've experienced God taking scripture that I didn't at first think was for me and recognizing that he is saying it to me. Let me give you an example. I think I talked about this once before, but I was at our Alliance Pastors Prayer Retreat. And I've been going through some difficult things and struggling a bit. And during one experience, I had this impression in my mind, like, You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. I thought, oh, okay, that's not me. That's a story of when Jesus was baptized and the blessing of God on his son as he was being baptized. But then two different times in different days in that week of prayer retreat, people prayed for me or over me, and twice they specifically said the same wording, you're my beloved son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. In some way they'd said that. So three different times I thought, okay, I think God's trying to tell me something. At least it was a huge encouragement for me. Yes, it was very clearly in scripture we can find those words and we realize that's about God talking to his son at his baptism. But in this moment it was him talking to his son, Andy, and some of the pain I was facing. But I think some of you have this too. I'm sure some of you have. Where you've been reading the Bible when suddenly a verse jumps out and you think, oh, that's speaking to me. Some of you have had that, right? Yeah. So if that's happening, I think there's times when it's all of a sudden it is for you. And maybe it's a phrase, and maybe it's a whole story, and maybe somehow you just think, God is saying something to me here that is more than me just reading some old words in a book. But he's saying something to me. Scripture is not still being written, but God does use it to speak to us generally as well as personally. He, through the Holy Spirit, continues to make Scripture alive and real to you and your situations you're facing every day. Now, knowing God speaks to us personally is key to understanding a few other things. So here's a few things that if we know God speaks to us personally, this is part of the process. So it's the key to understanding saving faith. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word or rhema of Christ. The idea that you have to personally understand what Scripture says for you to become a Christian, to come to faith in Him. If you just read it and you, oh yeah, okay, this is how you become a Christian, or all you have to do is faith, okay, yeah. But if you finally understand, oh, He's talking to me, I need to come to faith in Him. You need to come to faith in Him. All of a sudden, it becomes a personal word to us from God. His Scripture speaking to us. It's the key for understanding faith to act and obey. In Hebrews 11, 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah had this very specific message from God for a specific situation at a specific time. We do not need to read the story of God asking Noah to build an ark to think, well, I better build an ark. Right? We might think that people around might think we're a little weird if all of a sudden all the believers in town were starting to build arks in the backyard. Right? That's not what it's saying. There's a specific story, a specific situation. It's a time for God speaking to Noah. At the same time, maybe God spoke to those who built the ark encounter down in Kentucky and said for them to do that, maybe. The idea that God speaks to us about our own response. How do we have faith to act and obey? How about it's a key to claiming God's promises for us? Someone has counted that there are about 700 promises in the Bible. But the caution is that we need to claim rhema promises, not logos ones. Meaning that sometimes there are promises that are bigger and are out there that are not necessarily promises to me. Maybe there's some that are specific prophecies about Jesus, for instance, right? There are promises about someone coming, and Jesus did come, and he fulfilled those. But if God has made a promise to us personally, if God has made a promise to us personally about something, that's a different story. And I hope some of you have had those times when you have felt God said something to you, and you know that he's promising something to do something in your life. It's the key to receiving guidance from God. John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Well, that's what we're asking of God. We're asking him to give us wisdom as a church even, right? God, what are you saying to us as a church? How do you want us to move ahead? What do you want us to do during this transition time? What do you want us to be? Is there something you're trying to change in us? Is there some things we need to deal with? And so we're asking him to speak to us into our situation, into our moment, to receive guidance from him. It's a key to meditation. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We need to spend time in the Bible. We need to spend time reading. And maybe for some of us, we need to be going beyond just reading, but spending time in specific verses or stories. We need to intentionally listen to God through meditation on his word. Intentionally listening to read what God has said, and then kind of carry that with us. When we ponder or prayerfully think about or listen or chew on Scripture, it's called meditation. We're taking some time not in some kind of new age way or different occult way, but in spending time in God's word, spending time with scripture, asking God to just continue to speak to us. Maybe that specific verse will be just right in a situation you face. Maybe it's the one that will become the verse that guides you through all kinds of things. But that meditation sometimes is more than just the memorization, not just knowing something, but internalizing it. In order to understand someone, we also need to know the language they're speaking. And so some of you didn't understand what I was reading, and maybe some of you could hardly understand who should have been able to understand because of how I was reading it. But we need to sometimes have a little context as well to know how to make sense of things. I think sometimes older folks and younger folks have a bit of a hard time communicating. I don't know if you've ever had that where you're trying to use a word and someone's saying, "What are you talking about?" Because it doesn't mean the same thing anymore, right? Young people come up with words and they're changing definitions and you're thinking, that's not what it meant before. Actually, I came across this years ago when I was preaching, actually during my internship, they wanted me to preach through King James Version, so I'm preaching through Philippians, and I come across this verse that talks about our conversation. What does conversation mean? Go ahead and yell it out. What does it mean? Usually it's what we say, right? That's what we would think. So if you go back to Philippians chapter 1, you will find in verse 27, where in the King James Version, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." The ESV says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy." The NLT says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy," which means it's not about our words, it's about our whole way of life. Conversation in our minds, in our language today, is about words back and forth. But back in King James language, it meant more than that. All that to say, sometimes when we're trying to make sense of something, it's because we're not even understanding the context or the words that are being said, the definitions being used. Okay, all that to come back to this. If we hardly ever read the Bible, we'll have a harder time understanding the Bible, I think. Because the more you read it, the more you get the bigger picture, the more all of it speaks into what you're reading. So when, that's I think a part of it too, why I like having a physical Bible in hand rather than a phone, because just by opening like this, you already know something. You already know that I'm reading at the back of the Bible, right? So I instantly, before even anything, I know it's in the New Testament, right? And so when I'm reading, it makes sense because I'm where I know it's at. But just the idea that the more we spend time in God's Word, the more we look at all of it, it speaks into everything. And so we're not just picking out a few verses here or there and making them say something, but we're understanding out of the bigger context so that we don't somehow choose to define things in ways that it was never meant to be defined in the first place, but that we make sense of Scripture in light of Scripture as it speaks to all of it. So let me give you an example, one that may work for some of you. The Bible talks a lot about blood. We had some reminder in our communion service. The average person thinks blood is pretty gross. Right? Okay, so, but if you're a farmer or a hunter, blood's just blood. Not a big deal. But if you're not a hunter or a farmer, blood is not something that you have a whole lot of interaction with, or unless maybe you're a doctor or something. The idea is, Scripture talks quite a bit about blood. But if we don't understand what it's all about, it just seems a little disgusting. But when we understand, as we were celebrating with communion, that blood, this whole story around it, from all of Scripture, of how, first of all, there were sacrifices that were made, animals were killed, blood was shed so that their sins could be covered, and there was a looking forward to a time when someone would come who would be the final sacrifice, and his blood would be poured out, his life would be given, not for us to also continue more sacrifices, but for us to receive new life, not new human life, but spiritual life. And so if we understand the bigger picture of blood, all of a sudden we realize there's something incredible behind all of that. We're not talking about the disgusting part. We're talking about all that it means behind that. Some of our songs celebrate blood, and if you didn't know the story of the Bible, you might kind of wonder what people are singing about. But when you know the story of the Bible, you understand how this is about the life that Jesus is giving to us. So, God wants to speak to us. We need to be in His Word. We need to keep reading. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So let me just list the things there. He will speak through us through His Word to do what? To teach you what is true. I think that's pretty important in today's time. What is true, right? What is truth? To make us realize what is wrong in our own lives. To correct us, showing us is another way. To teach us what to do what is right. To prepare us and equip us for every good work. God wants to use His words to do something meaningful in our lives to make a difference in our world. Let me just go back to John 16, 12 to 15. It says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. So the Holy Spirit is reminding us of the words of Jesus, which are the words of the Father. He is reminding us. So now, He can't remind us of something we didn't know. If you haven't read the Bible, how is He going to remind you of what is in the Bible? But you read the Scriptures, and He can remind you of different stories and different teachings, and different settings where all of a sudden something speaks into your situation of today. I wouldn't be surprised if many of us, most of us here, are facing something that's a little frustrating in our life right now. Or a little discouraging. Maybe we're even grieving. Maybe for some of us, we're facing wonderful, beautiful challenges, but we're just not quite sure how to move ahead. And I think God wants to speak to us in all of those situations. Yes, a large part of it is through prayer and through listening to the Holy Spirit, but you have to have the Bible as your background for all of that, as your foundation for the Holy Spirit to speak to you with and through. One of you recently reminded me that Scripture can tell us to love our neighbor, but the Spirit may tell us to go buy your neighbor a lawnmower. Right? It doesn't say in the Bible how to specifically go about loving somebody. It does tell us to love them. And so we need to know how to listen to Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to open it up to us and make it real and personal and alive. I want to encourage you with one thing this before we go. As it's getting nicer out there, and as schools are ending and kids are going to be home, and as we think about vacations, don't forget to read the Bible. It'd be so easy to say, oh, let's sleep in a bit. Or let's get up early and go and do some fun things. We'll go do something else. Let's keep reading God's Word. Let me pray. God, as we read Your Word this week, help us to hear You, to listen for what You are saying to us, and to know when You have something for us that addresses our immediate situation. Thank You for Your Scriptures and how You do speak. And God, we ask that You would speak to the different things we're facing this week. Thank You for how You love us, You care for us, and You want the best for us. May we honor You and how we follow through in obeying You in each of those situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make Him known.